Revolution FM.
She was only a waitress in a highway cafe, poured coffee from dusk until dawn. But she was heartbroken 24 hours a day, for she longed for a trucker who'd gone.
Make it a corned beef on rye, she'd sing with a glee in her eye.
The headlights were burning,
the big wheels were turning.
Her sweetheart would come by and by. He'd park his great semi off Route 64. She'd blush with a sweet little sigh. For at 11:30, he'd walk in the door and he'd order a corned beef on rye.
I'll make it a corned beef on rye. She'd sing with a gleam in her eye.
The jukebox was blaring,
the soft eyes were staring.
Corned beef would come by and by. All the drivers remember that night, so they say. She'd said her farewells to them all. But when the hands on the clock reached 12:15, her suitcase still stood in the hall.
And the hours passed by, even as the trucks passed by out on the highway. And then two grim highway patrolmen came into the place, shook the rain from their hats, and as the poor girl brought them their coffee, she overheard the words that they said.
Oh, Curly, did you see that old diesel flattened out like your damn nose up by the predicament tonight? Nah, chili dog over here, honey. Oh, hell, Curly. Don't you know them damn truckers? Hell, they got a little filly at every cafe from here to Las Cruces.
Now there is a small truck stop on Route 64 if you happen to be passing by. But there's a trucker who never stops in anymore, and a waitress who wishes she knew why.
I'll make it a corned beef on rye. She sings with a tear in her eye.
And as her dark eyes are glistening, there's someone who's listening in that highway cafe in the sky.
I'll make it a corned beef on rye. She sings with a tear in her eye.
And as her dark eyes are glistening,
someone who's listening
in that highway cafe in the sky.
I'll make it a corned beef on rye. She sings with a tear in her eye.
And as her dark eyes are glistening, there's someone who's listening in that highway.
The incomparable sound of Kinky Friedman here on Big G's Texas Roadshow. Hey, howdy, good morning, welcome. And indeed, we've got a couple of in-studio guests. The great Kinky Friedman, good morning.
Thank you very much. I think that was John Hartford on fiddle there.
Yes, it was. I was singing the same thing, Kinky.
That is a Dylan Clitorius Ferreira.
Holy cow, this is a family show.
But we didn't know how to spell it.
Tour manager.
The road town.
Yeah.
But your eyes have seen more than mine.
And they show it.
Yes.
Yes.
And only one ear works anymore. I think it's touring with the Jew Boys all those years ago.
And Dylan was in studio a few weeks back with Jim Beal.
Right.
That's right.
Do you remember that?
I can remember that far back, yes.
It's good. You're not old enough to hide your own Easter eggs yet, huh?
It's all this coffee that Big G's giving me.
Yeah, well, you know, community.
This coffee Mr. T is giving you.
Ah.
So, what is going on in the world of the Kinkster these days? You were telling me that you've got a couple projects going on. I guess most notably A&E is doing some kinky mysteries. Is that right?
Yeah, they've ordered some scripts from John Mankiewicz, the creator of House, the network TV show, which I've never seen, but
I'm
people
a big
say
fan of House. It's
yeah, it's a very smart show.
Extremely
right?
funny. It's a brilliant show. Yeah.
So he's going to do a Kinky Mysteries kind of, I guess, like that.
Yeah.
And I do know he has told me that Ratso, the Dr. Watson character, is gay in these.
On the series?
Yeah.
As opposed to real life where he's just cheap.
Yeah. Well, right? No, he's the cheapest person alive.
He is. No, he is, yeah.
And what's Ratso's take on, or does he know yet?
He doesn't know yet.
He doesn't
know. He's not aware of any of this.
No. Okay.
He will be soon.
Hopefully Ratso's not tuned in to RevFMRadio.com out on the interstate tonight.
He's up in New York.
City.
New York.
Mean little boogers.
They're mean little boogers up there, but we can't do without them.
We're not even going to talk about what was going on out in the parking lot earlier.
We got so that. We've got a ranch roundup coming up.
Yeah.
Gee.
Yeah. Okay.
October 25th, Saturday night. At my home, Echo Hill Ranch, and find out more about it on the website, kinkyfriedman.com. That is to help Utopia Animal Rescue Ranch, and we're going to cut this thing off. We want it to be fairly intimate. We have 120 people coming from all over the country so far, and we just popped it up on the website a few days ago. But that's October 25th. That's going to be a good one.
Echo Hill Ranch, now, where for our listeners out there, where can they find that at?
Well, we don't want them to find it.
Oh, just go to the website, pay your money on your credit card, well, and don't
no,
show
no,
up.
If you want to come to this event, I guess you do a GPS type thing, right?
Yeah, and
there
your
you
wits.
Go.
Let your wits lead you to the path of humor.
I was thumbing through some old keepsakes mementos the other day and found a... business card size, and it said Kinky Friedman is allowed to be on this property.
To walk on the grounds.
Unattended. That's
I still
right.
have one of those.
Yes.
That's a keepsake.
Right. Yeah, that is.
That was until the campaign for governor when the campaign manager said it'd be cooler if you don't have cards.
Really?
They're really cool.
Really?
People don't.
No cards.
No, don't give anyone. Let them give you their card. That's fine.
No credit cards, that's for sure.
Well, somebody else's, of course.
Somebody else.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
There's two forms of ID.
Right.
Right.
Well, everybody did well in that campaign by the Kingster, I'll tell you what, in terms of financially, you know.
Oh, I bet that's true, yeah.
They watched me like a hawk. I could not access any campaign funds. And meanwhile, I mean, the governor and grandma were both still taking salaries from the state as they were campaigning.
Well... Which kind of leads me to a question I wanted to ask.
The independent gets screwed every time.
Well, there you go. Simply because, I guess, all your big money goes to the what have consistently been the two major.
Oh, sure.
Well, here's the deal. Even if you
She was independent.
Yeah, well, see, we're dealing with this right now where I've constantly been telling the Democrats that you know, the reason we've lost for now, 18 years in a row, every statewide office since Ann Richards, since she went to Jesus, the Democrats have not won. And the reason is that what we used to call the rednecks, which today they're probably in Starbucks or somewhere in some suburb, but they're...
The most maligned ethnic group in Texas today.
What they are is now they are libertarians or Republicans or Ron Paul people, but they used to be Democrats. And the way to win is to get these people back to the party. But if I were to go to the Democratic big shots and say, look, I can get the rednecks back. I can get these people that deserted us back to the party, and that's how we can win. That's the only way we're going to win in Texas. Most of the big money people would rather back their own loser. They'd rather finance. They'd rather, you know, spend.
That's a good bumper sticker.
Yeah.
Back your own loser.
What did Willie tell me once? He said, find a what the hell did he say? Find another sucker? No. Well, anyway.
Well, let me ask you.
Find another sucker. Okay. No, it wasn't find another sucker. Well, go ahead, Big.
Well, let me ask you a question. Do you think that the fact that the Democratic Party has shifted so far from where it, I mean, you know, you want to talk about, you know, where the rednecks were 20, 30, 40 years ago. Do you think that it's because the Democratic Party on a national level has shifted so far left, so far to the other side, that people just can't buy the message anymore?
Yeah, Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm an old style Democrat. JFK and
Richard. Well, yeah, but JFK would be the most conservative guy out there right now.
I would
say that's not what
the closest Texas has come to having a statesman in modern times is probably Barbara Jordan. And to have and it's ironic that it's a black woman that was the first person to warn us about things like political correctness many years ago. I mean, that was a theme of hers, that political correctness would destroy freedom in America. And boy, was she on target. Today.
And you've carried that torch.
Well, today there's such a climate. I'm telling you, if George Carlin and Richard Pryor were young comics coming up today,
they'd starve.
They'd never make it.
They would starve.
They would starve.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Black Saddles can never be made today. The Mel Brooks movie. Remember that?
Blazing Saddles?
Blazing Saddles. I'm sorry. I had a brain crack.
The sheriff's a clang.
Blazing Saddles.
You are getting old enough to hide your own Easter egg.
Well, that's
okay. The sheriff's a clang.
Yeah. It's a very funny movie.
A great movie. Great. And can you imagine? I mean, and what happened? I mean, where did it all go south? Because, you know, simply, we cannot, as a population, we are not allowed to laugh at ourselves anymore.
No, I mean, there is no... the reason.
What do you mean, we?
the main reason that that Obama is not like JFK is because he doesn't have a Kennedy wit. You know, he's not funny. And furthermore, if he was funny, it'd kill him. I mean, he and McCain can't even give an offhand comment, much less make a joke.
Or an off-color comment, either.
But I mean something that's right on target that they could say.
They
can't do it.
Yeah, those guys are both...
The one who speaks puppets. The truth the best probably is Joe Biden, and it's always a gaffe, but it's true. And the one of the four of them...
Yeah, he's elusive. He's not scripted.
I'm predicting the one of the four of them that probably has the most native... might have native instinct, which is exactly what you need to be president, is probably... woman I call Ronald Reagan in a dress, Sarah, what's your last name?
Palin.
Sarah Palin.
Yeah, I think she's a little bit better looking than Reagan was, though.
Well, if I was telling Dylan, if Obama wins, I'm moving to France with Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton. the three musketeers. We're getting out of here.
Those guys sure have been quiet.
They've been marginalized, and God bless Obama for that.
Yeah.
He's done it.
Right.
Those guys are over. Yep.
Right.
Those guys are ambulance chasers, I think.
Well, they really are. Talk about corruption. That's it right there. That's those two. But they have really held black people back in this country. There's no question about it. With their
to their own advantage.
Yeah, that's right.
Right. And why people look to these guys or historically. They have been perceived as leaders is beyond me. I don't understand it. I mean, can people not see through this hype?
Well,
you know, I mean, and look,
they're over because Democrats will never again go to them to seek votes or black votes or anything like that. They
right.
don't need to. And whatever Obama is, I'm not a big Obama fan, but I think he's decent. Seems like a good person. I mean, the issue really is. You know, if he wins, great. But if he loses by a whisker, the same way Kerry did, the same way Gore did, if that happens, no, just if he loses,
right.
It's his fault. He could have been president by picking Hillary, as he should have done.
Well, okay. Now, there seems to be a rumor flying around.
That she'll still be in there.
That and the date that I heard today was October 2nd, Biden is going to come up with some kind of serious illness, and Hillary is going to be the new running mate. So you can have boy, girl, so to speak.
There's a rumor of a tumor.
Yeah, that is a rumor of a tumor.
That sounds like a Kinky Friedman song.
You segue right in there.
Absolutely.
My regret is that politicians can't be more like Walmart greeters. That's what I think they should be, which is what I want to do is in a career, which may be a future career for me, because Walmart greeters are very spiritual. They're very Christ-like in a way, because what they say is, how can I help you? And when a politician enters a room, like a fundraiser or something, they turn to their handlers and they say, who do I talk to here? Who?
Right.
And what they mean is, who can help me here?
Who can help me?
Yeah.
Right. We're talking with... the incomparable Kinky Friedman and the road pimp of the original Texas Jew Boys.
I think we got to come up with a better title than that for a family show like this.
Yeah. Well, I think road pimp.
Well, it's better than roadkill. Okay, I'll just say that.
Dylan Ferrero. Ferrari
would be nice. It'd be nice to be related.
We had this
Ferrari
conversation a few weeks back.
Yes, we have.
Yes, indeed.
Remember, I told you my Ferrari is made out of grated cheese.
Grated cheese.
Yeah. It keeps melting on hot days. That's a problem.
My mother just got back from Wisconsin.
Did she?
Talk about cheese, yeah. So.
No, I think in a sense, back then when the Jew Boys were on the road, there was a, there was still politically correct people. There were always
Buffy St. Marie, for
example. Oh, there were people you could offend, and there were a sizable number in every audience.
Yeah, there were actually.
But today, we have I was outside the Bank of America in Kerrville last week, smoking a cigar. I don't know whether I was 18 feet away or 20 feet away, but a man reported me.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
And I couldn't believe it.
Were you the first one?
I thought he was joking. He went in and reported me to the bank teller. They said, well, Kinky's a very respected customer here, and so forth.
Is the man's name Don Imus?
No.
I've heard Imus complain about that.
No, but the fact
people
is...
People smoking
no,
outside
this is like... This is exactly the guy, some kind of neighborhood snitch like in Cuba. This is communism.
Nappy-headed cigar smoker.
This is what political correctness has got us. We have a state like in Cuba where people report their neighbor
Absolutely.
And they report other people. This guy had nothing to do. This big fat guy in a Cadillac was out there and he had nothing
to
do.
Did he have a grill in that Cadillac?
No.
Not
he
now.
Did. He did have a grill. He reported
cigar.
Me, so that's great. Yeah.
Wow.
So well, that's a badge of honor.
Well,
I was telling Big G, remember when your early albums couldn't get distributed because of the name Jew Boy?
Yeah.
So this has existed in the past, what I'm saying, but I remember that as well.
Well,
we could get into certain stores.
Look, I mean, it's not...
Or the act itself was, you know...
You know, I don't know. I mean, again, what has taken place in this great country of ours that people cannot have a sense of humor anymore? I don't understand it because America is a great melting pot, and it always has been. And I guess until they get that fence finished... It will remain that way for a while. So I don't understand why things have gotten to the point. I mean, I just want to say, Kinky, that it's always been a pleasure for me to listen to you, whether it was on TV or in your through your music or reading your books, because you don't pull any punches.
Well,
That's a nice compliment. Yeah.
I appreciate that. I'm a dreamer who never sleeps, and I was thinking the other day, I was just different people get into music for different reasons. Like Bob Dylan told me once that he got in to get laid, basically. You know, I mean that's why he picked up a guitar in the first place. And
if you look at the early pictures of him, then you
can understand that.
Right.
Yeah,
if you look at him today.
But I mean, I really, it sounds cornball, but I got into to kind of as a form of expression, expressing the truth, maybe. That was kind of what I was about. Not particularly shocking people or not shocking them, but trying to pierce this phony morality, maybe. Sure enough, I mean, it came back and bit me in the buttocks during the campaign for governor with using the N-word 27 years ago or whatever they dredged up.
Yeah.
And they called me a racist. Just like they called Bill Clinton a racist, which is absolutely ridiculous. He's done more for black people and for Democrats.
Well, he was the world's first black president.
Yeah, right? He was. So than any living man, he's done more for the Democratic Party. And to hang him out to dry like that. And, of course, Mark Twain's the other one that was decried as a racist. It just seems that the public always gets it wrong. The people don't get it right. Back to Jesus or back to Socrates or... And it's a little silly. You know, I wrote this story about Don Imus. It's in my latest book, What Would Kinky Do? A chapter on Don that was published in the New York Post, but where I compare Don to Jesus and Socrates, which might be a reach, you know. But
a tad.
Yeah, but the people just, they don't really get it right. The guy that they consider the racist is the one who's telling the truth, and the guy they think is telling the truth is a racist.
They don't want to hear it.
Yeah,
they don't want to hear it.
They really don't. And so they won't. So we'll see. And that's what makes it so hard to choose a president. You don't know who the real hero is. Well, we know McCain is capable of it, certainly. But we don't know.
Well, as I see it, this whole thing, it just turns into the Great American Circus every 4 years. And I would think that at this point, anybody who has not made up their mind who they're going to vote for is probably not going to vote. Would you agree with that or not?
Oh, yeah. I agree with that. I'm always skeptical. I can't talk. My throat's about me. Of the undecided category in any election. They always say the undecideds.
Right.
And I really wonder about that. How big that really is. Is it like, you know,
I even heard an electoral.
Centimeters. I don't know.
I heard an electoral college count on the radio yesterday. Isn't that?
Well, if you're watching CNN, Obama's ahead, and if you watch Fox, then McCain's ahead.
Right.
But really, there's a whole lot of very close undecided votes, and it will come down to whether there's a Bradley effect or not, whether named after Tom Bradley, the black mayor of Los Angeles who
right.
polled 20 points ahead of the opponent and then got beat somehow in the election. So the Bradley effect is often interpreted as racism, as a white person. No, I mean, nobody wants to be known as a racist. So if you ask me what I think of Obama, I'm not going to say I don't like him.
Right.
Now, I might say it about you, because you're white.
You bet.
But a black man, the average person won't say anything bad about him if the person is white. And if I ran Dylan here for the mayor of Harlem, he could be very sincere, brilliant, qualified, and all that. And he would lose to any corrupt African-American candidate that they put up against him. Just because blacks feel more comfortable voting for blacks and whites and feel the same way, and every race on the planet feels instinctively comfortable with their own kind. And I think that's just called human nature. That's the Bradley effect. Now, if that effect is working, that means Obama better be ahead by 5 points instead of 1 point there, or he ain't going to make it. And that doesn't mean that, I mean, anyway, that's an interesting phenomenon. I don't think it matters who wins this race, by the way. Do you, Dylan? I mean, I think it's just the same. Give me the same old deal.
Dylan
has some hope in Obama, but I have none.
Look, I always have hope.
I always have hope. I think it's good to have hope.
Well, I agree with that.
Sure.
But I don't see much difference, really, between the parties, simply because nobody is interested in doing what's best for the country or their constituents. It's all what's good and expedient for them
at that
point in time.
That's why John McCain seems like a sensible choice to me, because he's a guy, more than anyone I can think of in modern time, that has gone against his own party.
Right.
That's all. You can't deny it. That's
right.
True. So whether you want somebody who's willing to go against his own party, that's one good sign. Another is that he was in the war, he did really, I mean, he was a very courageous guy.
Absolutely.
And that's something. So that's at least something.
So much of it has come out during this election process and this campaign season about what he actually went through during his internment period. And we all sit around here and have a great time, love America, love what it does for us. But it's guys like that that makes it all possible. And for people not to respect the contribution of a lot of these veterans is pretty disappointing to me.
Well, we have forgotten about the veterans every time. As soon as they get home, it's over. I mean, what they have to go through just to get a prescription is obscene. And any time I see a vet or an old man wearing a cap, I always say thanks.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Tell you what, I'm You're tuned in to BG's Texas Roadshow here on Revolution FM. We've got Kinky Friedman and Dylan Ferrero in the studio. We're going to go to a song real quick. Another Kinkyism right here on Revolution FM.
Well, I'm here to say I got turned away from Studio 54. Back to neon lights and lonely nights and sawdust on the floor. And if she ever loved me, she don't love me anymore. And if anyone should ask me, here's who I'm singing for. For the people who read People magazine. For the soap opera lovers. For the hometown voting team. For everybody everywhere who's ever lost a dream. All the people who read People, who read People magazine. Now if you're to New York from Texas, to Texas for L.A., you've been chasing trends like rainbow ends, but you're always just a song away. And if the White House wouldn't have you playing every little honky-tonkin' bar, the good Lord made the heavens, but he never made a star. No, it's the people who read People magazine. It's a soap opera lovers, it's the hometown voting team. It's everybody everywhere who's ever lost a dream. All the people who read People, who read People magazine. And to tell you the truth, this telephone booth gets lonesome in the rain. But son, I'm 21 in Nashville, and I'm 43 in Maine. And when your mama gets home, would you tell her I phoned? Take a lifetime to explain that I'm a country picker with a bumper sticker that says, God bless John Wayne. And bless the people who read People magazine. Bless the soap opera lovers, bless the hometown voting team. Bless everybody everywhere who's ever lost a dream. All the people who read People, who read People magazine. Bless the people.
People who read People magazine. So let's shift gears here a little bit. Your musical career, when did you realize that you had an ability in the musical realm?
Well, I think early on, when I was very young, I am blessed with something called the absence of self-doubt. And this is real important for anybody who's listening, who's a young people especially, who want to be a writer or a performer, anything, or an artist of any kind. Because you can be a genius, loaded with talent, but if you're riddled with self-doubt, you won't get past page one. You'll keep tearing it up and throwing it in the fire, you know?
Along with your cut-off ear. It's true.
That's right. But I've got the absence of self-doubt. I have a feeling when I'm writing something or when I'm doing it that this is going to be great, or that people are going to like this. And that's especially true if you're writing columns, like I'm writing columns for Texas Monthly. I just wrote one on The Hermit of Echo Hill, which is a story that I heard when I was 9 years old from a counselor who told us this story about this hermit, and then this other counselor came up screaming and late at night, you know, scared everybody. And now I've become the Hermit of Echo Hill myself. I mean, I live there alone and my four dogs, the Friedmans. And I'm a lucky man because I've loved many people in my life, and I still do. So To be able to write a column that's funny or that appeals to people is very difficult. It's harder than writing a book, almost.
Mm-hmm.
And this has worked out very well for me. I mean, it's not... Life has not been the financial pleasure. I mean, I have a big problem. People think I'm fabulously rich. They think I'm very wealthy. In fact, the guys at the airport, the security guys, said, "We saw your house, Kinky, over there." They're talking about this big house in the hill.
Really?
It's by the highway there.
Well, that's fine.
Which is not mine.
No,
I would never do that. Yeah. But I like what Winston Churchill said, which is, we make a living by what we get. We make a life by what we give. And I've been giving a lot lately to animals and people and slot machines.
And to the flamingo casinos, yes. I was going to say that. That was a very good article. Kinky wrote a good article about...
Oh, and Gamble, yeah. What are the odds?
Yeah, what are the odds? That was a good piece.
Well, that's in the September issue, which I noticed still hasn't got into the supermarkets around the greater Kerrville area.
Really?
I guess it will eventually.
I got mine in the mail.
Oh, you did, yeah.
Yeah.
Subscribers get it early.
Yeah, okay.
The September issue is... Halfway to October already?
That's right. Well, they do it that way. But
okay.
But that's interesting. Slot machines are... This is a whole story about gambling. And I've already got some nasty letters about when there where I said that I hit... Last time I was in Vegas, a few times back, I hit a jackpot for $36,000. And, of course, I was down $200,000 at the time. And that's really... It's true. I mean, I wasn't... I did hit a jackpot for $36,000. I was very down, but not quite $200,000.
Right, right.
But this woman was saying I should give that $200,000 to poor families.
Well, took it literally.
Yeah, she... Well, they took it very literally. Yeah.
Well, okay. So...
It's like most people are probably taking this interview.
Well...
Literally.
And, again, we're... Hanging out with Kinky Friedman and Dylan Ferrero here in the studios at Revolution FM. You're tuned in to Big G's Texas Roadshow. Again, thank you guys both. I mean, so much for being here. I can't tell y'all how much
enjoyed it
means to me. And, you know, try to give our listeners some culture here on the Roadshow on Friday
well,
night.
Well, let's not go that far.
No. Okay. All right. Well, you can...
Don't put
you're
me up on
off
a pedestal
the
there
on the Roadshow.
Lead a horticulture, but you can't.
But we will see you down the highway,
right,
definitely.
Right, absolutely. You have, I don't know, what, 12, 15 albums?
I don't think I have that many, but probably there's a lot of bootleg stuff. The Germans are going crazy for Kinky right now. I don't know what is happening, but there's two German TV crews coming down next week, and then there's a German magazine, and they're flying from Germany to Texas, I mean, here to do this. And I said, well, what else are you guys doing? You know, I asked, what are they doing? They said, nothing. They're coming here to interview you all day, and because I think the books are going big over there. They even did an illustrated version of the Christmas Pig. So, you know, I'm not real proud of being big in Germany. I guess it's better than being big in Japan.
Yeah,
as Tom Waits observed.
Maybe they liked your joke about tying your shoelaces.
Tie my shoes with little Nazis.
That's
maybe
why
that's
coming
why
over
they
here.
Like me. Yeah.
I'm the author of that joke.
Well, I noticed something. I've been to Germany twice, and I probably won't be back, but. But as far as the tour goes, it was great. But the German audiences that we tended to draw were—they were all sold out, and they were all young people, and they would stand there. And there's no seats there in these places, you know. So you got 400, 500 people standing there listening to things like "Pretty Boy Floyd" or "Sold American" or "Ride 'Em Jew Boy" or stuff like that, and very much. Looking at things, I noticed in Europe this last tour, also looking at America, maybe culturally, very strongly identifying with that, listening to every word. And in fact, they knew just about every word. And when I did a show in Berlin, afterwards some guy came up and said, there's a doctor in Chicago, in the thick German accent, there's a doctor in Chicago, I know she'll be all right. Why didn't you do that song, Kinky? That's Rapid City, South Dakota,
yeah.
And so these are not curiosity seekers. I mean, they're that's the biggest problem I have. I think that my fans are scattered across the world. Jimmy Buffett's fans are all consolidated in America.
In Florida. Yeah.
No, America. The mainstream. He is one of the biggest mainstream acts we got. And I don't know what the significance of the mainstream is for the future. I tend to think it's not important. In other words... There was a Jimmy Buffett back there, and I'm not saying anything bad about Jimmy because he's a good man, but But there was a Jimmy Buffett back in Van Gogh's day who was selling his paintings for a lot of money to everybody. And that guy's name has slipped our mind. We don't know it. It's not even a footnote in history. And yet Van Gogh, who was married to a prostitute and broke and painted to pay the rent, you know, and never sold anything in his life, that man is the one that really reaches people today.
Van Gogh didn't have MySpace or YouTube, however. See, I think that's what's changing.
He didn't have
what
Facebook.
You're talking about. Yeah, he didn't have them. I think that's why it's changing because of technology too. In other words, people in Germany now can hear your stuff because of that. I bet. I don't know that for a fact.
Well, I think.
But, well, how would this stuff? If you've read
like this, I mean, really seriously.
No, but if you've read any of my books, I mean, how could the Germans understand this is all really weird kind of American?
Yeah,
they're not going to get the jokes, are they?
No, I wouldn't think. I don't know.
I mean, they're getting.
Do you think it's a fascination because of the?
The Jewish do?
Yeah.
Well, let me just say, that only goes as far as that they don't want to be Germans. Okay? I mean, Germany is still a schizophrenic country. The old people, you know, the ones that were, they're still, they do tie their shoes with little Nazis still. But the young people, they would rather be Tom Waits or Iggy Pop or Kinky Friedman or Santa. They want to be, that's why they travel all the time. They don't care about their past except that they know it, and that's to their credit. I think that young Germans do know what they did, and in Japan they don't. They're completely revisionists.
The Japanese, they won World War II. They're the victims. They won World War II.
But they were the victims of World War II.
Oh, right.
And that just nothing's further from the truth.
Right.
Huh. What? Oh, you didn't know that? I mean, they don't teach in schools what they did.
No, I knew that.
What they did
that.
In Burma, the Philippines, and Pearl Harbor, and all through the. Yeah. Yeah. You know, the millions of people they tortured and starved to death and like cruel little children. Let's not get on an anti-Japanese tirade. Yeah. I do this with Dylan, and I keep forgetting his... Should we even go into this? No. Yeah, well, I can't. His wife is Japanese.
Yeah, he was
Japanese,
to respond to that.
I forgot that one time, and I was arguing with Dylan, and he was getting mad.
tell Big G about the guy. Was it in London sitting there that looked like Hitler? I thought that was very funny.
No, that was in Scotland.
Oh, it was in Scotland.
In Glenfarg, Scotland.
In Remember, the audience.
A very small old hotel, very quaint, very high dollar, pricey place with 50 seats only. And as I was walking on stage, Ratso whispered to me, he said, do not look at the left-hand side of the stage with the audience. So I thought that was very funny.
So I glanced over, on the front row
is a man sitting there who looks exactly like Adolf Hitler.
This was really in Scotland.
He looks just like Hitler. And he's a happy, kind of nice Hitler, you know. But
it's a happy-go Hitler.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was one of the funniest things I've ever,
Mel Brooks
ever seen in my life. I mean, it's just, I could not talk. I couldn't, I think people thought I was just stoned out of my mind. I don't know what they thought, but God, was that funny. And he had a kind of a growth, a weird sore on his upper lip on one side, which looked like a mustache, looked like Hitler shaved his mustache, you know, half of it. And left the other half. But it turns out he's in a band, of course, and he gave me a CD afterwards.
Yeah.
He's a nice guy, and he knows all my songs, and that's it. So,
well, that's a good story.
Do y'all remember, of course you do, when Three Stooges, when Mo used to pull his comb out. And,
yeah, I used to do that. That's right. Three Stooges, sure.
Comb his hair down. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
Woo-woo-woo.
Fairly. Indeed. Indeed. Well, I'll tell you what.
You know who Chuck E. Weiss is?
Chuck E. Weiss, absolutely.
Just talked to him last week.
How is he?
Good. He's getting a picture of Tom Waits and his pet for my new book, Money May Buy You a Fine Dog, But Only Love Can Make Him Wag His Tail, Celebrities and Their Pets, which is coming out on Simon & Schuster, Schuster, this in 2009.
Do we cheat him and how?
Yeah. So that's kind of what I'm working on.
But. So you are also involved in, I guess, one of your pet projects is the thing very close to your heart is the
Utopia.
Utopia.
Utopia, right? Animal Rescue Ranch is shaping up to be one of the. Of course, I'm an executive there. You know, I don't really.
You're top dog.
I'm top dog. I'm a Gandhi-like figure. I mean, I don't do much work.
That's where all the big money comes from.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
But I'll tell you what, the I'm glad to see that this last hurricane thing, they've got the animal thing down. What happened in Katrina is a major tragedy. To tell people, you know, like the lady I met at the Del Norte restaurant for breakfast the other day, Fran, she lives in the Take It Easy trailer park there, with her dachshund, Cher, and who she says is her best friend in the whole world. Mm-hmm. Now, to tell a lady like that, leave the dog. You can't take this dog. You must decide whether you're going to come with us on the bus and get out of New Orleans or whether you're going to stay with your dog. Most of those people stayed, and thousands of them, I believe, died. That's part of the group there, animals. And that, so we're handling that a little better. By the way, as long as we're on this, let me just quickly, as far as Galveston and Houston and the areas affected by Hurricane Ike, anyone who wants to help cattle and horses down there, and thousands of them have died.
Oh, what a horrible thing that is.
We've got a number to call, and it's 1-800-TEL-TDA. 1-800-TEL-TDA. Or if you want to make a donation, or if you have feed or water troughs or anything like that, call 979-845-2604.
Okay. All right. I'll tell you what, fellas, we're going to take a little break here and get some messages out of the way, then we'll be right back. I think we're going to play a little guy that made Kerrville famous originally. Here on Big G's Texas Roadshow.
Jimmy Rogers?
Yes, indeed.
Music that's authentic, genuine, the real deal.
My good gal's trying to make a fool out of me. Lord, my gal trying to make a fool out of me. Trying to make me believe I ain't got that old TB. I've got the TB blue. When it rained down sorrow, it rained all over me. When it rained down sorrow, it rained all over me. Cause my body rattles like a train on that old SP. I've got the TB blue. I've got that old TB, I can't eat a bite. Got that old TB, I can't eat a bite. Got me worried so, I can't even sleep at night. I've got the TB blue. Like a lion, looks like I'm going to lose. I'm fighting like a lion, looks like I'm going to lose. Cause ain't nobody ever whipped the TB blues. I've got the TB blues. Gee, but the graveyard is a lonesome place. Lord, that old graveyard is a lonesome place. They put you on your back, throw that mud down in your face. I've got the TB blues.
And Basin Street is a street where all the boys and the good folks made down in New Orleans, in the land of dreams. And you never know how nice it seems, and that's how much it really means. La 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 la, dear to me, yes sirree, dear to me, yes sirree. Can't you see, baby, I can't lose those good old Basin Street
This is Big G's Texas Roadshow here on Revolution FM. We've got Kinky Friedman and Dylan Ferrero in the studio. Well, boys, what do y'all think about that Jimmy Rogers and Louis Prima?
Sounded great. Sounded great.
Yeah, I'll tell you, there just aren't many living great talents, are there? You know, it seems like everybody that I really admire is dead. Now, I don't know if dead guys wrote better or performed better, both in music and in literature. If you bring me a book or a record by a dead guy, it's probably going to be pretty good. You know, and if you bring me something by a living person today, it's probably going to be pretty derivative and nothing, you know, really. It's very rare that anybody... There is a group. There's a group in Austin called Shotgun Party. You know about
that? I am not familiar with that.
Yes, and a young girl named Jenny Parrott, and Jenny... wrote all the songs and sings them, and it's a three-piece group, and this is the most unusual. I mean, it kind of brings you in mind maybe of, I don't know, Leonard Cohen.
Really?
Her voice is like, kind of like Loretta Lynn, or a little like Keeley Smith a little bit, actually, now that I think about it. Uh-huh. And I told Imus the other day that she's kind of a cross vocally between those two, and he says, I hate both of them, he said. Okay.
Is he just unhappy or what?
He's unhappy.
Yeah.
But that's good. I mean, that's the way he's happy. I mean, he's not happy unless he's
that's
unhappy.
It's the way of his people.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, the way of his people.
Holy cow. All right. No race baiting, Dylan. Come on. Well, I'll tell you what we got.
Well, may the God of your choice bless you, Big G. We'll do this again. In fact, let's do it every single night, Dylan, since my life's pretty empty right now.
Let's never leave the studio alive.
Well, in a sense, we probably won't.
I am not not suggesting that y'all leave. All I'm saying is that we've got the top of the hour, and we've got to pay homage to
ABC. We're suggesting we leave because we're hungry.
Okay. All right. Yeah, and y'all are going to McDonald's.
No.
Folks can find y'all at McDonald's across the street.
That's right. Yeah. McDonald's. Okay. That's it.
Where 23 McDonald's in Kerrville. I
had a birthday party at McDonald's.
I remember that.
That was the sickest thing.
It was sick. I lasted about 8.5
minutes. I've never been back to any McDonald's.
Yeah.
I don't support McDonald's
either.
Or Starbucks.
How old were you?
At the time?
49 years old.
49 years old. Yeah, I was.
My current age.
Your current age.
My current age.
You're a young little booger, Big G.
For 1 month and 1 day.
Really?
Another 1 month and 1 day.
Wait a minute. When's your birthday?
October 20th.
So you're a Scorpio.
I know.
Your fellow? My birthday is November 1st.
Libra.
As you know, I'm going to be 64, which is too young for Medicare and too old for women to care. But I care.
Did y'all? And I really because I'm sure that y'all have seen this or at least heard about it, what Willie said on his 75th birthday.
Yes.
Yes, okay.
I quoted Willie saying that in Texas Monthly.
Okay,
earlier.
Well, yeah. You can do that in print. We can't do it here on the radio.
That's a good one, yeah.
That was a pretty good
one. It is a good one.
Right, right. And the email is flying around, so if you don't know what we're talking about, just Google Willie 75th birthday, and it'll probably pop up. Or maybe not.
Maybe not.
Maybe not.
And Willie's in this pet book of mine with his, some horses that he saved from the slaughter plant.
Yeah.
And he says that if you're gonna have sex with an animal, it should be with a horse, because that way, if things don't work out, at least you know you got a ride home.
With that, my thanks,
gentlemen. Dylan, it's been a pleasure. Big G,
enjoy
Kinky,
it.
Dylan, doggone
Big
it, fellas.
If you're driving
this evening, folks, don't forget your car. Lord.
Wait,
Lord.
I tell you what, before we get out of here, there's one other question I want to ask you.
I'm sorry, I just don't have time for that.
Okay, well, I know you do.
Go ahead.
What does the future hold for the Kingster? And let me narrow it down. Do you have any additional political aspirations?
Beyond being a Walmart greeter, yes. I mean, I'm thinking very much, if I get into this, I don't know if I'll run for governor. If I do in 2010, it would be as a Democrat. But the one thing I want to do is visit rural Texas, visit the towns of rural Texas over the next year, because I think that defines Texas. I think that's the real Texas. And Austin or Houston or Dallas are very much like, you know what Molly Ivan said about Dallas, that it's the town that roots for Goliath to beat David. And these towns, they all look like Atlanta or someplace. They all look alike. They don't signify
anything.
Rich man
with a death wish in his eyes.
That's right.
Remember that song?
Yes,
Dallas?
I do.
It's a great song. Yeah.
So that's what I do is travel around and like a Walmart greeter and meet the people, kind of on a listening tour, because my listening skills, as you may have guessed, are rather weak, and develop them. And meet with teachers, meet with some of the Democratic county chair in some of these places, not asking for anything, see what the problems are, and then test the waters. Because I think I have fairly strong support in rural Texas, and a little-known secret is that rural Texas elects the governor of Texas. It's
right.
Not the big cities.
Right.
And that's happened time and time and time again.
Right.
And if I have support in rural Texas, and I think that I will, that would be very, very,
that's okay.
Very interesting.
That's okay.
I'm sorry. Missed.
No, that's fine.
We can't tell them what just happened now. Let them see if they can figure it out.
That's all good.
I will.
It's all good.
Okay.
Well, again, Kinky, best of luck to you in your future political aspirations.
Texas, I'm going to give you one more chance. No, I don't know about that. We'll see. I mean, the Lord may have better things in store for me than running for governor of Texas or being governor of Texas. And frankly, when I die, I already have in my will that I'm to be cremated and my ashes thrown in Rick Perry's hair.
In lieu of Brill Cream.
Yes. Although Rick is a good sport.
That's it. That is the man, Kinky Friedman, here on Big G's Texas Roadshow.
Keep laughing. Keep laughing, Big G.
You know me, Kinky.
Keep laughing.
Thanks so much for being here. I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. Dylan Ferrero, thank you so much as well. You guys don't get up and walk out. I mean, come on. Just hold on a second. We're going to go on to ABC News now, and we'll be back on the other side. Right here on Revolution FM.
Revolution FM. In touch with the Hill Country.